All right, it's good to be here this morning, and this is, I guess, our first official BMFP Sunday that we've been able to do. That's something that we've been wanting to accomplish. I'm Brother Jonathan Lyons. We have Brother Matt Quitter and his wife Diadem and Manoa with us, and they'll be sharing in the evening service. Brother Matt and I work very close together. He's our pre-field administrator and helps me quite a bit there in the office. Appreciate his friendship over these years, and God just put a good team together to work at Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. And so, if some of you don't know, I am Brother Pastor Farley's brother-in-law. I'll get there in a minute. His brother-in-law. And so, I guess he has a lot of faith in me. I won't destroy things while he's gone. So, I guess you all give a good report. Well, his daughter's here, so I have to be good. All right. So, but it's good to have you this morning. And I want you to enjoy our time this morning. You want to share some things that maybe you've never heard as far as mission boards go. A lot of people have different ideas about mission boards, and I just want to give you a little bit of history about BMFP and then share a couple of thoughts about what a mission board actually does. Is it needful? Is it the way we ought to go? Let me preface, and I do this every time I do this session, to help us understand that missions is the responsibility of the local church. It's not the responsibility necessarily of a mission board. And you'll see this throughout the lesson this morning, but the ones that do the sendings, the one that has the authority on any missionary is the local church. And so we must keep that in mind. We must keep that very present. Any aid or assistance that a mission board does or gives to a missionary is in relationship to the sending pastor and how they want us to incorporate that help. Some pastors want more help. Some pastors want less help, and that's okay. We'll just fit in where we can. And also understand that I always tell people this. People ask the question, well, a mission board is really biblical. You need to do that. I'm not going to all of that, but I will say this. If a church is able to handle all the affairs, what I'm going to talk about this morning, and do it efficiently for their missionary, by all means, you ought to do it. But Brother Matt and I have traveled, and Brother Farringer will be doing this for too long. And you go to many churches, and most churches do not have what is needed to take care the right way of their missionary. And so I want to help you understand what involves with sending out a missionary, and you have the opportunity to be involved in the Farringer's life. So this makes it a little more personal in your relationship with him. And I know you've got, I think, two other missionaries that you're involved with. So hopefully this will help you understand where you fit into all this plan. Many times the idea is this guy gets called to the mission field and they find some mission board, and the mission board takes care of it, and we just hear from the missionary every now and then, and that's really not the relationship we're looking for. And so we want to help you with that this morning. Take your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3, we'll give this as our jumping off point this morning and just kind of help us get focused on the idea behind the relationship that needs to be between the missionary, his sending church, and the mission agency. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and in verse number 6, these are Paul's preaching here, or talking and writing. He says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So this morning as we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. And hopefully we'll be able to spend some time in the end. Maybe if you have some questions, you'll be able to ask those and spend some time doing that as well. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. And Lord, we're excited that we can be able to share a little bit of our heart with the Open Door Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Farley and his dear wife. We pray you might encourage them while they're away. Keep them safe. Bring them back safely. I pray that our time together this morning and this evening as BMFP with the Open Door Baptist Church, Lord, we'll be able to share some things, give some insight to be able to help and encourage them as they carry out the Great Commission through their missions program. Lord, thank you for those that come out this morning, made the effort. May our time be a blessing and encouragement to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just give you a little bit of history of Baptist missions to forgotten peoples. Someone has said that missions is the heartbeat of God. In a world full of distractions and entertainment, missions in many ways have become less emphasized in our churches. And as Brother Matt and I travel, we see a very much a decline in those who are really interested in not only just giving, but actually participating, actually getting involved personally in the act of in the ministry of missions. And the idea of me surrendering to go to the mission field now is not something that people just want to grab onto anymore. There's no money in that, you know, so they really don't want to do that. But really, it's not about the money. It's not about making a name for yourself. It's simply presenting yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples is here as a mission agency to serve you, the local church. And we desire to see a world that's has a heart to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And understand that our missionaries, those that come with Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples, comes from local churches, just like Open Door Baptist Church. We don't go out and do other things. We go to colleges and we go to different places, but we don't go out other places to solicit missionaries for Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples. All missionaries must have a sending church, must be involved in their local church, because the one that sends is not BMFP. The one that sends is actually the local church. That's where the authority lies. That's very biblical. So that's where we come from. Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples was initiated in the hearts of Dr. Garland Powell, Dr. Gene Burge, all of you know Dr. Burge, and Miss Alice, and several other men that came together on December 19th, 1980, with a vision and emphasis to begin the Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples with Jeremiah 1:7. It says, "For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." And BMFP began with a vision to reach unreached people groups. We talked to the Farringers when they came and said, "We're going to Chile as missionaries." I said, "No, you're not going to Chile as missionaries. You're going to the people of Chile with missionaries. The country doesn't need the gospel. The people need the gospel." And so we emphasize very, very emphatically that God has called you to a specific people group. Within that people group, it could be gypsies, it could be those that are down and outers, the homeless, it could be those in the jail, but whatever it is, God will lay a specific people group on your heart. And that began in the heart of Dr. Garland Powell, and he gave their very heart and soul to BMFP. Dr. Gene Burge took over the helm of BMFP after Dr. Powell's health began to decline. And through the leadership of Dr. Burge, the aspect of local church planting came a part of BMFP. And then as a result of that, Dr. Burge and Miss Alice began the European Mission Possible European Retreat, which is used to encourage missionaries, has been a great part of salvaging many missionaries and helping to continue on for the glory of the Lord. So God has used BMFP over the years in a great and mighty way. The word innovation has been incorporated to the very fiber and heart of BMFP. We mean by that we believe that anybody that has a heart to serve God should be able to have the opportunity to invest their lives in others. And so we have different types of ministries that are maybe unconventional, maybe not normal ministry ideas. For instance, we have ethnic and international church plants around the world. We have military ministries, as well as single servicemen centers, Bible institutes to train nationals, jail and prison ministries, children's homes and shelters, rescue missions, rehab farms, homeless ministries, helps ministries, medical missions, Bible translation ministries, aviation ministries, Jewish ministries, deaf ministries, church restoration ministries, as well as those that go in and fill in for churches and fill in for missionaries as they take a furlough. That's just to name a few of the things that we try to do at BMFP along with the normal church planning aspect. And so we want to help you this morning, because there might be somebody here, and I don't want to take all of Pastor Farley's members, but if you are interested in serving the Lord, there's a place for you at BMFP. If you have a heart to give your life, to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach a certain people group that God's laid on your heart. It may be here in the States. It may be around the world. But God is looking for laborers. And you're here this morning, not by accident, not by chance. You're here because God has something for you to do. And I don't know what that is. That's between you and the Lord. But if BMFP can help you in any of those ways, kind of guide you along, we're always open to help and encourage you as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, for a few moments that I have left, I want to share some things about exactly what a mission board is and what it does for you. Let me just give you the scenario. I'll use Brother Farringer since he's here. He can be my guinea pig today. So, but just imagine Brother Farringer comes to Pastor Farley and says, Pastor Farley, God's called me to go to the mission field. And Pastor Farley says, wait a minute. You're working for me. You can't leave. No, he didn't say that. But Pastor Farley says, well, great. Let's do this. And they look at each other and say, well, now what do we do? How do we get Brother Farringer from Open Door Baptist Church to the southern part of Chile? How does that work? I mean, it's all good. Everybody's excited and the church wants to help him and encourage him. But how does that happen? And so Pastor Farley begins to investigate and he says, well, man, how do we deal with insurance? How do we deal with international bank transfer? How do we deal with hostage situations? And of course, Brother Farringer probably deal with his own hostage situation. But anyway, begin to look at all that kind of stuff and you say, well, we can't handle all that. And so they call someone like BMFP and they say, hey, you have everything already lined up. You have everything in motion. Can you help us help our missionary get to Chile? And so we had a conversation with Pastor Farley and with the Farringers, and we had them come to candidate training, and they began to hear the instruction about how they can get from point A to point C, how they can go through the process. And we are aiding Open Door Baptist Church to help them accomplish God's will for the life and to help you as a church fulfill the Great Commission. And so we're just an avenue to help. And so that scenario is very important. So we have three things I want to share with you quickly this morning. Number one, we have a missionary undertaking. A missionary undertaking. Proverbs tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so there must be a vision in three areas. Number one, there must be a vision of the minister. Your pastor must have a missionary vision. I know Brother Farley, I've known him for a long time. I knew him before we got married. Amen. And so we've had a long relationship with Pastor Farley and Ray. And so he has a missionary vision, but it's very important that a pastor of a church have a vision to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're just concentrated on our own area, we're just going to be stuck right here. But you have worldwide faith missions. You have missions conferences. You have Faith Promise missions conferences. You have had Dr. Birch come several years in a row and do your missions conference. And others have come and done your missions conference. And they challenge you not only to give, which is very important, but more and above that you give your life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want, as Pastor Farley has portrayed to you, we want you involved, actively involved in missions. And I want to just stop and say, that's exciting to me to have a pastor that wants you to be involved with missions. You're not just looking at the here and now, you're looking at down the road. And everything that your missionaries do, everything that they accomplish on the mission field, goes to credit to you. Because you have been actively involved in sending those missionaries to the field. So a church, the minister of the local church must have a vision of sending out missionaries. The local church must maintain this global view, understanding that the future of missions depends on your view of missions around the world. If you lose your vision to reach a world for Christ, Open Door Baptist Church is done. Understand that. That's how important missions is. So you must have a minister that's involved in having a vision. Number two, you must have a missionary that has a vision. You have missionaries that come and you're sending out missionaries from your church. The church has a vision. The minister has a vision. That vision is transferred through the church to its members. That member gets a vision for missions, feels the call of God on his life, surrenders to God's call, but that the vision of the church and the vision of the missionary must come together. They must come together. Brother Farringer can't go do what he wants to do and just, well, I'm going to go do my own thing. No, he has to expand the vision of Open Door Baptist Church. And then we have the third group, and that would be the mission. In this case, Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. And we are aiding and assisting you, the local church, to ensure that the vision of the minister in the church and the vision of the missionary come to fruition. Our desire is to see your missionaries succeed on the mission field. We want them to be great missionaries. We want them to succeed and have all their tools that they need so they can accomplish everything that they want for the glory of the Lord. And because if they succeed, you know what? You succeed. Can I get amen there? Okay, are you with me this morning? All right. I just get worried there. So yeah, we want your vision to go through your missionaries to reach a world. And when God reaps that harvest, you've succeeded in doing what God wants you to do. So you must have, the minister must have a vision, the missionary must have the vision, and then the mission agency must have a vision to help those come together, provide what's necessary so they can accomplish God's will for their life. So that's a missionary undertaking. Number two, we have a missionary understanding. Missionary understanding. Now, let me just say, I'm an MK. That doesn't mean I'm a mean kid. That means I'm a missionary kid. And I grew up on the mission field all my life. Went to Africa when I was about 1 year old. Grew up for 9 years of my life in the country of Liberia, West Africa. Age of 12, went to Spain. Grew up there all the way through high school. Came back to college, got married, went back to Spain, served 24 years as missionaries there. So I know a little bit about missionary life. And I'll have know a little bit about missionary kids, okay? Missionaries are strange creatures, okay? You think Brother Farron is strange now. Just wait till he's been on the mission field, okay? He will be strange, all right? I'm a third culture kid. I'm born in America, raised on two continents, back here trying to convince you that you ought to send your families across the ocean or somewhere to reach others with the gospel. Now, is that weird or what, okay? My way of thinking is very different than most Americans. My way of thinking is European. Brother Matt has struggled with my language as I write things because I write them backwards. Because we say things backwards in Spain. Now, they don't say it backwards, but Americans think, you know, Spanish people say things backwards. Now, I just let you know something. In heaven, we're all going to speak Spanish. Okay? So you need to get that now. It takes eternity to learn it, but we'll get there. And so as we deal with these things, missionaries give up things to go to the mission field. Now, when I say give up, really they're not giving up things. They're going and following the Lord's leadership in their life, and they do it willingly. They do it happily. They do it joyfully, okay? You may look at it and say, well, those poor missionaries, look what they have to give up. Don't look at a missionary like the poor missionary. They're on a trip, they're on a avenue of life that is exciting, that God is going to use them on a unique and a special way, and they need a church that's going to be behind them, encouraging them, just helping them along, because they are on a mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're all on a mission to a certain extent, but this is a little bit above and beyond. And so we have to understand that they're going to be facing things. Different cultures, different languages, different way of life, different foods and smells and monies and transactions and healthcare and all the rest of it that goes along with being a missionary. And so when you think about taking a good old American and send them to some place that's not American, there's some adjustments that have to go there. And it just doesn't happen overnight. Okay? It takes time. It takes investment. It takes practice. It takes tears. It takes, just a lot of investment in those areas. But as you think about that process, you need to understand some things about missionaries and missions. Number one, understand there's a cost involved. there used to be a philosophy, and unfortunately there is still some of that, that if even with the preachers, we have a preacher and he preaches and we'll keep him poor, keep him humble, amen. It takes money to move missions. It takes money for the Open Door Baptist Church to maintain what it does. If you're going to do more and want to do more for your activities, it's going to cost you something, okay? That's why we believe in the tithes and offerings. That's a biblical principle. You have learned the principle of faith, promise, giving. And you do that very well. And I'm excited to see how God is using you in that area. But understand, there's a cost into getting missions around the world. And so let me give you some of those costs. Number one, there's a cost of accountability. I am very big, Brother Matt and I and those in the office, are very big on accountability. The Bible says one day we'll all give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've made a practice in my life, in my home, that everything that comes into my hands belongs to the Lord. And therefore, my money, my home, my car, my clothes, my groceries, everything that's given to us is given to us by the grace of God. Okay? If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have anything. Are we okay there? So since it belongs to the Lord, everything that I do in my life has to go along with His will. And so when it comes to my life as a missionary, I have to be accountable not only to the Lord, but God puts people that I have to be accountable to. And so one of the things is we help our missionaries to be accountable is in their expense reports and prayer letters and records, insurance, taxes, and banking. All these areas are important because they give an accountability of the finances and their work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get a call in the office and we'll say, get a pastor, he's upset, and you say, but Elias, we haven't heard from missionary so-and-so in 6 months. What is he doing? And we'll say, let me look in this file. Where's his prayer letter? And when that missionary doesn't send that prayer letter, you know what I'm doing? I'm on instant messenger, I'm on email, I'm on WhatsApp, whatever I can get a hold of that missionary. And say, hey, bud, we need some information. Pronto. Get it here. You're losing support because you're not sending your missionary, your prayer letter in. That's the accountability. If someone is given, if you're giving missionaries money and you're supporting them and you're praying for them and you're investing in them, that missionary has responsibility to let you know what's going on in their ministry. That's just the way it is. But it costs to send prayer letters. It costs all this stuff. We have expense reports. Everything that they do as far as receivers for offerings, they have to give an account for that money, how it's spent. Why? Because we're accountable to the Lord. We keep good records. We have insurance. We call our missionaries to have insurance. You can't go to the field and not have insurance. That's not being a good steward. Okay? You can trust God and have faith, and I believe all that, but you also have to use sense and God's given you to do what's right and be responsible. Okay? So accountability. Number two, there's a cost financially. You say, well, Lance, I knew you were going to get to that. Well, you know, it takes money to move missionaries, so let me just deal with it this morning. There's a lot of things that the missionaries don't know that goes on, and a lot of times the churches don't know. We have an office in Jacksonville, and we have to maintain the copiers and the postage machines and the personnel, the building, filing systems, database, bank fees have to be paid. And all of this is done to help that missionary stay on the field. Miss Sherry Reister works in the office. She's a notary. A missionary can call from anywhere in the world. Miss Sherry, I need a notarized letter to help me stay in this country. Within 24 hours, that letter's to them, and they can present that to the government. She makes deposits every month. By the first day of the month, their money's in their bank. All that takes money. It costs us to do that. And some people ask us, well, do you charge your missionaries? And that's kind of a funny thing to do that. When we do a support estimate, we calculate $225 a month for the missionaries to donate to the mission board when they get full support. And that equals less than 2% of the average support. What they get for that really doesn't cover what we do. We're not taking money from the missionaries. They've raised the support for that. They raised their support to help supply for some of the funds for the home office. We just did almost a $20,000 renovation of the building that was falling apart. We have three missionary apartments that we have to maintain. The building was in dire need. It had turned pink. And I'm sorry, I like pink, but not on a building. Amen. And we ended up getting it painted and fixing some things. And so it looks really nice now, but it took somebody to invest in that. And praise the Lord, God provided all the funds above and beyond the budget. We didn't have to dig into the home office account to do that. God's people gave, missionaries gave to help do that. And so it costs financially to maintain a building to help those ladies. Those ladies stay in the office. They're there at 8:30 in the morning, and they don't leave to 4:30 in the afternoon every day. Even when I'm gone traveling, when Brother Matt's gone traveling, those ladies stay there and invest and spend time and help those missionaries at a drop of a hat. So it costs financially. But then it costs physically. Someone must pursue. Someone must go. And that's the missionary. It's going to cost someone's their life to go. Their way of life to go. It's going to cost someone to participate. That's you. You're going to have to sacrifice to help missionaries get to the field. It's going to cost someone to preserve or maintain. That's where we come in. We try to help maintain the missionaries and try to encourage them and try to keep them on the field and help them supply their needs. Then we have people like myself and Brother Matt and Brother John DeRush and other field administrators that go out and try to motivate new missionaries so they can come and say, hey, get involved in missions. This is exciting. Look what God's doing. Don't you want to be involved in this? So it takes all this to work together, but it takes physical strength to do that. And then it costs personally. It's a personal sacrifice for missionaries to go. They sacrifice. Just years, when we were in Spain, the first 3 years of we started the Azuqueca Baptist Church, the church for the first 3 years always ended in the red, and our offering was whatever that difference needed to make from red to zero. Before we taught them tithing. The Spanish people knew nothing about tithing. They knew nothing about maintaining a building or anything like that. But now their buildings are paid off and they're paying their pastor. But it took time. It's investment. It's a personal sacrifice. It takes personal support to help a missionary get to the field. Then it takes personal supervision. And that's where Baptist Missions and Forgotten Peoples comes in. We help supervise. I don't know how many missionaries you support. How many missionaries do you know offhand? 52? And so if you had to keep up with 52 missionaries every week, find out what's going on with them, your secretary would be burned at both ends. I mean, she's just like, ooh, we can handle this. And plus keeping up with all you guys. Amen? I mean, that's a hard work, you know? And so that's where the mission board is helping you keep account of all that. So we have the costs. We have the challenges. Letter B. Just the challenges of missionaries. And you need to understand some of the challenges they face. These are just a few things that I put together because some things that we went to are helping new missionaries come. Adjusting to the field is one of the greatest challenges of a missionary. The first 3 years, which we consider a first-term missionary, is usually adapting to culture, adapting to language, getting a house set up, trying to figure out the banking system, trying to get a vehicle, whatever you need to do. So that first 3 years, it's just a lot of adjustments. And trying to be able to prepare themselves to do the ministry that God's called them to do. When a missionary comes by your church and says, well, in our first term, we want to start 3 churches, and we want to have a bus ministry, and we're going to have a Bible college started, slow down. It's hard to do that if you don't speak the language. I mean, I was a kid, learned Spanish, and it took us 10 years before we ever started our first church. We worked in other ministries and helped. But give them some time to learn the language. To be able to get adapted, to get their family adapted to that area where God's called them to serve. Expectations. You as a church have expectations for your missionaries. Your missionaries probably have somewhat of an expectation of what's going to be like when they get to the field. And can I just be blunt and say those expectations are never real? It's usually very far down the skiff on what they expected it to be. And so we have to learn to help our missionaries and encourage them as they deal with these transitions. Number two, discouragement is the number one factor in missionaries not making on the mission field. It's very easy. You're here and we visit churches and, man, you love on us and you give us a little offering and you put us in a nice place to stay. And, man, you're taking us out to all these restaurants that we can never afford to go to. And we go to these places and we feel like kings and all this type of things. Also, when we get to the field, and nobody's treating us that way because the other missionaries are just as poor as we are. And they can't take us out, and we can't take them out. So now we're stuck in this little apartment or this place trying to figure out how to buy soup in another country, how to buy chicken, how to buy vegetables, because we don't, it's all foreign to us now. And now we got to figure out how to do this stuff. And so all that glamour of ministry is all of a sudden just kind of, and reality begins to set in. And sometimes it gets very lonely as you try to go through that those type of steps. And that's where the sending church needs to be involved in the lives of the missionaries. You need to be writing them, encouraging them. With today's way of communication, there's no reason why a local church can't keep up with their missionary. I mean, there's email, there's a Facebook Messenger, there's WhatsApp, there's, you know, a lot of other things out there that I don't know about yet. That you can actually communicate. You know, there's Venmo. No, don't do that. You can do a lot of things to encourage your missionaries. So look to do that. I then understand that expectations can be too high, and they can get people discouraged. Then there's the complexity of it. The people on the mission field, I found this out as I went. The people on the mission field are not waiting for the missionary to give them the gospel. There, you know, you see the movies, and you'll see, you know, Nate Saint, and you'll see some of these other movies that, you know, they put out, and it gives the idea these people are just waiting for the white man to come with the gospel. That's not really the way it is. Most of the time, they don't care if you're there or not. Most of the time, they would rather you leave. I was in a store one time, and this guy was really just on me. He knew I was, he called me the Baptist priest in town. And we had the Baptist church there not so quick. And I went in his place. They made keys and picked shoes, stuff like that, right underneath our apartment building. And I went in there one day, and he was on an American kick that day. And he loved Clinton, hated Bush, you know, and he was, that's back in those days. And he was just on a rampage, as this, that, and the other. And one thing I try not to do and never do in a foreign country is talk politics. That's not why I'm there. So I was being very kind and cordial. And, you know, so I said, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. And so I left, and I was thinking, man, he is really having a fit today. Went back a couple days later, and man, he was still on that fit. He just went into the Americans and this, that, and the other, and, you know, just downgrading everything. And I guess my flesh finally got the best of me. And I turned to him, and I said, sir, I said, how long you know me? He said, well, you've been here for a long time. I said, you ever heard me talk about your country? No. You ever heard me talk about your president? No. You ever heard me talk about your food? No, have you ever heard me talk about your people? No, I said, he quit talking about mine. You know, ooh. He said, did I offend you? I said, yes, you did. And sometimes, you know, you deal with those things. He became my best friend after that and opened all the doors I needed. But he was a locksmith too. So, but, you know, sometimes it gets to you. But you got to deal with those things, you know. And so it gets complex. It gets complex. The missionary in churches involved should have a realistic view of the mission field. And being realistic will help everyone have a better plan and be better prepared to do God's work. Don't let disillusionment defeat you. The missionary can get disillusioned, but the church can get disillusioned. Well, that missionary is not doing what he said he was going to do. He's not doing it fast enough. Had a church one time when I came back from the field, went to visit me. He said, "Well, Lions, once you know, we're going to drop your support." I said, "Can I ask why?" And they said, "Yeah, because you haven't met our missionary quota for this last year." And I said, I didn't know I had a missionary quota. He said, yeah, you have to win so many souls. And if you don't win so many souls, then we're dropping your support. And I thought, and I was younger back then, and I was a little bit more feisty. And so I told him, I said, well, sir, I said, I'll gladly trade places with you for 6 months. Would you go to Spain and spend 6 months? And then let me see if you meet the church quota. Of course, he didn't care to respond. He didn't like that very much. But anyway, it takes different cultures. It's a different way of handling things. So that's a little bit about the missionary understanding. Last of all, missionary undergirding. This is what BMFP does. Other mission boards do similar things, but I'm just tell you what we do. We spend time recruiting missionaries to get the gospel around the world to the forgotten peoples, pocket peoples of the world. We believe there are people right here in our country that God has placed us here, placed them here, that we cannot go to their country. But we can reach in here with the gospel. That's a great need. We might complain about the border. Again, I'm not going to get politics and all this. But God's allowing a group of people come in. They need to hear the gospel. We could have 20 Hispanic missionaries right now in America and not touch the surface of what needs to be done. We're in dire need of Hispanic missionaries. We're in dire need of deaf ministries. We're in dire need of different types of ministry for the Middle East. There's a whole Middle Eastern group here in America that needs the gospel. And so if there were just people that were surrendered to reach people groups here in America, man, we could do a lot just to reach our part of the world. That's not even going across to another country. We spend time recruiting. We assist the missionaries in securing support for the field. Now, we do not raise the missionary support. Okay? We had a missionary call me one time as a foreigner. Called, I don't know what country he called from. He says, Pastor Lyons, we want to join BMFB. I said, oh, yes, where are you from? He said, I forgot where he was from. He says, I want to know. You go raise my support. I said, no, me no go raise your support. No, you come raise your support. Oh, okay, bye. You know, hung up. We don't raise support. We help you. We'll get meetings, and hopefully we'll do a better job next time, Brother Farringer. We help you get meetings at different churches. If someone calls us for a meeting and say, hey, can you bring two or three missionaries? We'll call those on pre-field and say, hey, you know, go with us. And usually we get support for them. We give them contacts to help them along the way. And so we provide that. We're a channel for funds between sending churches and their missionaries. We promote missionary programs in the local churches. We go to Bible institutes. We go to the different colleges and are recruiting missionaries for the mission field. Then we provide watch care for its missionaries. We provide physical, spiritual, and emotional support for missionaries. We have tons of people that are with BMFP to provide counseling, pastors on the board that are just ready to help and encourage the missionaries. There's a wealth of help available to our missionaries. We provide contacts for meetings and connections for the field. We underwrite international sponsorship for missionaries. When a missionary goes to a foreign country, they just can't show up and say, well, here I am, you lucky people. It doesn't work that way. They have to have somebody that's responsible for them. And Open Door Baptist Church doesn't write that letter. But Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples does. And so you know what happens when the missionary gets in trouble in the mission field? They're not going to call you. They're going to call a dear friend of Brother Matt. He's the military guy. I said, you take care of this. But, you know, they'll call and say, hey, your missionary's broken the law. He's in trouble. And we have to write letters saying that, you know, they're not going to be a burden to the country. They're not going to do all this and that we're responsible for them. And if you had to do that for all your missionaries, it might be a little bit taxing for you to try to take care of that. We provide that. We are a source of recruitments for missionaries. We manage the missionary finance. Every love offering that comes in, every support, there's a receipt made and sent out. It's all done electronically now, praise the Lord. But everyone that sends a love offering in or support, every one of those people have to get a receipt by law. And we have all that set up that takes care of that. We have someone helps with taxes. When you're overseas, you forget about taxes because after you're gone a certain amount of time, you're not liable to pay income tax here. You have to pay your Social Security tax, but not your income tax. And so we provide a guy in the office, Brother Bob, has handled taxes for years. He knows everything about ministry taxes and does a very good job of helping missionaries with that. We're a go-between the churches and missionaries. If there's a problem, you know, I encourage the churches to call the missionaries. And most of the time, they call us. Hey, we need to know about missionary so-and-so, and we have information. We give it to him. If not, we say, here's his number. Give him a call. We try to help with those things. We have a team of experts to intervene and resolve international conflicts, such as hostage situation. We have in our policies of insurance for like a $5 extra charge, an evacuation plan for every missionary. If they take our insurance and they're overseas and they get in trouble, they make one phone call, and they're on the evacuee list. They'll get them to the American Embassy and get them evacuated out of any kind of situation that they're facing there in that country. So I don't know if you have a plan for that at Open Door Baptist Church. You probably don't, but something is needed for missionaries, okay? Then we have a wealth of a council. We have missionary apartments that we provide for missionaries. So those are things that we have there. Then we produce, well, our desire is to produce Lord-honoring missionaries, okay? BMFP is a family, and we try to invest in our missionaries. And they're not just a number, they're not just a unit, they're not just someone on our list. There are people that we want to invest in. And we try to know their names, we try to know their kids' names, we try to have a personal relationship with them, all those in the office, and their field administrator. We want them to honor the Lord through all that they do. We want lifelong missionaries. The statistics of missionaries dropping and quitting is alarming. And we're trying to cultivate a culture and to cultivate a sense of loyalty to your sending church and to the mission board to be able to have a lifelong ministry, have a support group around you. We want level-headed missionaries. We don't want some cocky missionary out there. We want somebody that is using their brain, okay? Using and following God's will. We're trying to help them through that. Then our desire is to develop leadership missionaries, because one day they may be in my place. One day Brother Farringer may be the president of Baptist Missions for Forgotten Peoples. That's scary, isn't it? He'll rule with an iron thumb. Amen. There you go. But that's what we're looking for, because I realize that, you know, I'm not going to live forever. I don't know if you realize that or not. Okay? Has anybody not realized that yet? I'm not going to live forever. But BMFP, we want BMFP to continue on, even after I'm gone, after Brother Matt's gone. So we're now preparing for the future, looking for those. I'm looking for someone to replace me, and I just got in. But why? Because I want BMFP to continue. It's not about me. It's not about Brother Matt, or because we're a great team. It's about God using BMFP to continue to get the gospel around the world. And so we want to invest in future leadership. And so as missionaries come on, we're looking, we're trying to help them, because when they come further down the line, God may move them back to the home office to help and eventually do the leadership things that we're doing. So those are the things that we're trying to do. Quickly, this is kind of my vision for BMFP. There's a BMFP circle there. Something that I drew up when I became president, something that we want to do. And this is kind of what we're looking at. It's called a life cycle of Baptist Missions for Forgotten People. And our desire is that our missionaries come in, get the vision that they have from the church, get the vision of BMFP. We have a lifetime of service together, that when they get time, when they have to retire or they have to come off the field, that they're still useful to BMFP. How many don't feel like you get to end your life and you feel useless? Anybody felt that? Or you feel like people don't think you're useful anymore? Okay, a lot of people feel that way. BMFP, we don't want you to feel that way. We want you to feel like you still have something to give. You may not, your body may not do everything you want it to do, but you still got a brain, okay? And you can still use that to invest in others. You can help others do what they need to do when you can't physically do it. And so we have several stages. We have one, it's called the BMFP Candidate Training. And that's where they come in and they get the vision of BMFP. We try to share with them our heart. And we don't call it deputation. We call it pre-field ministry. Because when they leave that office, they're on ministry. And when they go to a church, they're not there to get support. Ding, 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 surprise. They're there to minister. They're there to encourage that pastor. If they get support, praise the Lord. If they don't, praise the Lord. But they're there, first of all, to minister to that pastor, to minister to that church, and to help them. When Brother Matt and I come down here, we didn't come down here looking for anything. We just want to be a blessing to you. Help you understand this thing about missions and how mission boards work. We want to be a blessing to you, whether you give us anything or not. That's up to you, and I honestly believe that. Why? Because what our vision and what God's given us is so important to us that we want you to be able to share with that, be ministering to you. And so we help them get this vision. Then they start their pre-field ministry, and this is where they're presenting and enlisting others for their call, their burden. They're gathering supporters with BMFP, and they're getting people as they travel. They are representing not only Open Door Baptist Church, but they're representing Baptist Missions for Forgotten Peoples. And that brings the vision together, okay? Remember we started about the minister, the missionary, and the mission board. And as they're doing pre-field ministry, they're bringing all that together. They have then they get through with the pre-field ministry and they go to the field. And of course, as I mentioned, the first couple years is language and cultural adaptation, language school, learning the ropes, helping to now begin to unveil and do their own vision of BMFP and the church as they work on the mission field. Then we have what is called the active missionary service. They're settled. They got the language. They got the culture. They're helping others, and they're in the setting up of ministries, whether it be starting a church or a Bible school or whatever they're involved with. And so God is putting them together, putting them in the ministry, and they're involving and helping, instructing others. But then there comes a time when they have to leave that ministry. My practice has always been, I'm always working myself out of a job. Why? Because I want to leave someone else behind. My dad told me many years ago, when you go to the field, you leave your mark. If it's on a tree, leave your mark somewhere. Do something. Let people know you've been there. And so when we started our church in Azuqueca, our first service, I told them, I said, we are now beginning the Azuqueca Baptist Church. I am not your permanent pastor. That's a wonderful way to start a church, isn't it? But I want them to know that the goal was to have a national pastor. And we worked for 14, 17 years for that. And now they have their national pastor. They have their own building. It's all paid for. They have Faith Promise Giving. They're supporting their pastor. It's growing, doing better than it ever was when I was there. That's the goal. of anything that we do. Make something better than what we could have ever done with it. That ought to be our objective. As these missionaries are doing this, they're putting it together, but we need to be transferring that to others, transferring that vision to others, recruiting others to come along, be part of candidate training, come back and share with the new missionaries, hey, this is what we're doing. You try this and it might work for you. And then there comes that point, and nobody likes it, that you have to come off the field either for health or other reasons, and you just can't stay there. And we want to use those missionaries for office positions. They're in the home office, investing in their vision, helping them to continue on the vision of Baptist missions to forgotten peoples. So that just kind of, in a nutshell, gives you what we do and what we're trying to accomplish. Obviously, I could say a lot more, but I don't want to extend you too long. But I do want to give you a chance for questions. Maybe I said something that kind of pricked your heart and your mind and your thoughts about missions and missionaries. And so let me just take a few moments. If you have some questions, I'd be glad to answer those quickly. Any questions? Well, I must have done a pretty good job. Yes, ma'am. You had a question? We have about 111 now, 112 missionaries. We had 10 couples, units, a couple of families this last year. We're praying for 20 couples for next year. So please pray with us. We have 10 that we're talking to already. So we're excited about that. Any other questions? That's okay. Okay. All righty. Well, usually it's about 3 years. One, it depends on several things. One, it depends on the size of their family, how many mouths they got to feed. And then number two, it will depend on maybe the region you're going to. Some regions require more support than others. But the average missionary takes about 3 to 4 years. And again, it also depends on the missionary, how intense they are. I had a missionary that got to Europe. Now, Europe is very expensive. And within 2 years, he made it in 2 years. But, I mean, every Sunday, he was one Sunday in California, next Sunday in Washington, D.C., next Sunday he was in Washington State. I mean, he was going. We got a couple now raising funds to go to Iceland, which is one of the most expensive countries to go to. And it's been, what, 2.5? Huh? How many years? It's been 4 years. But they've did it. They've done a good job in raising their support. So, all right. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. It depends. We don't have what we do whenever a missionary comes. Brother Matt and I go over the estimates. And we call missionaries on the field, even with those who are not with our board, and say, hey, what does it cost for a family of four to be on the mission field? Europe is usually, you know, a little higher, $6,000, $7,000, because just the euro and things are expensive. Africa may be, you know, $3,000, $4,000. Asia may be a little around that area. So it depends on where they're going and also what type of ministry. For instance, someone has an aviation ministry, obviously it's going to be a lot more expensive because we have several missionaries that have aviation ministries. And that is a very expensive project to do, but it's a very useful one if they can do it. So they raise extra money for that type of things. Yes, sir. No. 30 countries? About 30 countries now. Hoping to get more. You get somebody else to sign up. You got Chile now. You need some more people to sign up. Amen. Miss Cindy, you want to go, right? I need to get Miss Cindy signed up. Amen. Any other questions? Good questions. Amen. It's kind of like the wedding. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Amen. If not, when we get done, we have a display table over here. And it has a lot of literature on there. There's a good pamphlet Dr. Burge wrote. I'm sure you've seen it before, How to Pray for a Missionary. And those are very practical ways just to remember. You know, using your five fingers, your four fingers, and your thumb, depending on how you look at it, and how to pray for missionaries, different things you may not think about as you pray for your missionaries. That's very important. How to choose a mission board. If you're actually interested in looking at the missions, we realize that Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples is not the only board, and that, you know, it may require another type of board for your specific ministry, and we understand that as well. So we just give some things to look for. There's a brochure about Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples that explains exactly what we mean by pocket peoples, what we mean by reaching people groups, those type of things, and what that all entails. Of course, there's different regions where we have all the countries listed. Not that we have missionaries there, but we want you to understand what is there. And many times we look at a map and we don't really understand all that's involved. How many countries are we looking at? We say Africa. Well, we have every country in Africa listed there, so you can see. Well, man, there's a lot of people here, a lot of places that could go and reach. So we want to have the information for you. There's also a prayer card. Brother Matt's prayer card's there. Mine is there. And Brother Matt and I'll be available. Miss Diadem. If you really want to know anything, you ask Manoah. He knows about BMFP and anybody else. So he's our junior missionary helper here. So he helps out quite a bit. And so we'd be glad to answer any questions. We'll be here tonight as well, and I'll show you a little video about what we put together, just kind of a overview of Baptist Missions Forgotten Peoples. Then once you be back tonight, Brother Matt's going to be speaking. Brother Matt just got his doctorate degree on biblical leadership, and is using that really in an effective way to help others in area of leadership. And it's been a real blessing to me to have him on board. So you really want to be back tonight to hear him. You're here this morning and you can't leave, so you're stuck with me this morning. But tonight you really need to come back and hear him, okay? That's what you really need to do. He's the one that can, you know, he can tell you all the good stuff, all right? So, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. About 8 a year. There for last 2-3 years. Let's see, it's been the last 2 years I've been to 8 funerals with either BMFP missionaries or spouses or someone related. Of course, some have just come off the field because of age. Some have been health issues that can't continue on. We've had 2 retire this year just because. Just not physically able to continue on. Three now. I think we have now. Just another one just came across. They're just not physically able to continue on. So BMFP was and is still an older generation, and God is allowing us to get a younger generation in. But just and just help you understand the age group of 40 to 60. There's a gap there. There's the gap of servants, the gap of pastors, and the gap of missionaries. And so when those 16 above go off the scenes, there's no one to come right in. And usually they're getting out of college, and so until they get their feet on the ground and figure out which way's up, you know, help me with those younger guys, you know, and figure out what God's wanting to do in their life, and then helping them understand the need of missions, because we've missed almost a whole generation of people who now know nothing about God, know nothing about Scripture, know nothing about church, are being responsible in church and those type of things. And so you're having to re-educate a whole new group, new generation in the area of missions and ministry. And so that's the issue we're facing in missions. And if you talk to Pastor Farley, and you'll understand that's probably where you are in church leadership. You know, Brother Farley and I are about the same age, and we're very unique in the sense of our age doing what we're doing. Most people my age are not doing anything like this at all, and doing a lot of other stuff, but not this. So, very good question. Thank you. All right, anything else? I got 1 minute. All right, if that's it, Brother Ferringer, we'll close this out with a word of prayer, and then we'll spend some time talking to you if we need to, and we'll be out of the table to be able to talk to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. Lord, I pray that something that's been said, Lord, would encourage these folks. Thank you for Open Door Baptist Church, for Pastor Farley and Miss Ray. I pray you might continue to bless and encourage them. Thank you for the Ferringers, Lord. I pray you might help them as they take this step of faith to follow you, as well as others that might be considering serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to look at the fields and understand, Lord, we have a personal responsibility to be involved in some way, shape, or form in the area of missions. Well, thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.